Hey, Heat Nation, welcome to another episode of Heaters Gonna Heat. As always, I'm Jorge Cantu, and I'm joined by the one and only Richard Anselmo. Richard, how's everything going?
Jorge, outside of freezing, everything is going well, and it's great to talk to you.
Outside of freezing and a bad loss to Chicago last night, I think you forgot to mention.
Oh, I didn't forget about that.
It was devastating, completely devastating watching Miami fall apart against a team they had just beat, say, a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago.
And they played without Zach LaVine last night.
Well, even though Miami was without Dwayne Wade, they had no business losing against a Chicago Bulls team. So
not at all. And the losses like this. And we talked about to Atlanta recently. These are the kind of losses that not only really hurt, but you have to seriously look at this team. Are they a playoff contender?
Right. Great point. And as you mentioned, it doesn't make any sense that we keep losing to these bad teams. But, you know, we still had two road wins before. So this bad home game, it just overshadows the good work that the Heat showed in the previous two games. But I guess when you have a team that doesn't have as much margin of error, we're going to be a bit more harsh in losses than we are appreciative in wins. Okay, so before we start, just make sure you follow us on Twitter at Heaters Heating. And remember to check us out at Pulse Podcast Network, OTG Basketball, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Anchor. Share the word. If you're a Miami Heat fan, tell your neighbors, tell your family members, tell everyone that Heaters Gonna Heat is rocking. Going back to what we were saying against all these bad losses against the bad teams, it's certainly not the first or the second time that this happens. Some of the teams that we have lost throughout the season include multiple losses to Atlanta. As we said, they just hit the rebuild button and are starting over. But they still somehow managed to steal a couple of wins from Miami. We lost to Chicago, of course, last night. Then come Orlando and Charlotte, who are not necessarily bad teams, but I personally don't think that they should have lost those games. You know, obviously Orlando has a big push with Vucevic and Charlotte does with Kemba Walker, but out of there, they're not too consistent of teams. And if they're hanging around the playoff picture in the East, it's just because their stars have, you know, made superhuman heroics and attempts to keep them in there. And the rest of the, you know, the bottom half of the Eastern Conference is not too big of a competition.
No, the two teams we beat on the road were the two worst teams in the East. And it just doesn't seem right seeing the Knicks down there, but they are the worst team in basketball.
I'd say it's between them or the Suns, but I think the Suns have at least a better clue of what they're doing, even amid the Robert Sarver drama and everything that's going on there with their arena plans and everything.
Well, they have a future.
They seem like they have a plan, but
I don't see what the Knicks' future is.
Well, it's much harder to see with Kristaps Porzingis out, but at the end of the day, we cannot keep losing to these teams. Because for some reason, it seems like the Heat step up their game to a different level on most nights when they play, you know, these top-seeded teams. They had a great fight against the Nuggets a couple of weeks ago. They did great against Milwaukee. Took one L, a bad L, and they also took another win. We've had some nice performances against good teams before, but
we have.
But I don't know why just when we play these bad teams, sometimes either we do great or we get blown out by some terrible, terrible, terrible squads.
And the kind of games like the Chicago game on Wednesday, these are the kind of games you can't lose. You have no business losing to a team playing without their leading scorer and really going nowhere.
Playing for nothing. They're playing for the draft. That's all they're doing right now.
Right.
But still, you can take away the credit because Chicago, for whatever reason, they showed some great offensive sets last night, even though they're one of the worst offensive teams in the league for obvious reasons. But they moved the ball pretty well. They made their shots, which was a key part of what help them keep a lead for most of the game. And they still deserve a lot of credit, in my opinion. Like, all the blame goes to Miami here. Nothing against Chicago. As bad as they have been all season long, they deserve all the credit in the world.
No, they were the better team last night. And that leads to the next question. What's going on with Jay Rich?
It's something that we've seen, you know, these struggles for a couple of games already. Maybe they're not too apparent in wins, but when we take losses, it shows, and it shows bad. He shot 4-for-15 last night, and then 3-for-10 in the previous game, and 2-for-7 in the previous, and 5-for-15. So the shooting struggles are there. In the last 17 games, he's shot exactly 38.5%, and he's only had, three or four games above 40% shooting in those nights. So that's not something that you should expect out of your allegedly best player in the team. And we've said it before, because he currently is. But
right. But he also hasn't been playing defense the way he can, and that hurts as well. When you're not scoring, if you contribute in other ways, it can help lead to wins. That's not happening here. It's just not. His play has just been off on both ends.
What we saw last season from Jay Rich indicated he was headed for a great future, maybe even a breakout, another breakout season this year. But even though he started off pretty well, he's cooled down a little bit. He's making some shots. He is, and he's scoring 17, 18, 20 points a night, but the efficiency is not where you want it to be. And I just think that maybe he is too passive. He doesn't seem to believe the fact that he's the best player on the team.
He needs to start playing like it. He really does. This team doesn't have a lot of options. And I always say you have to look at players between 6'6 and 6'9, give or take an inch or two. How many people do you have at that size? I'm not talking point guards and centers. At that size, who can run, play the wing, defend? The teams that have a lot of them are usually really good. And Richardson has to lead that. And we just lost one, too, last week.
No, don't even start there yet.
We don't have many of those wings. We can't afford to lose one.
Yeah,
and we did, and it doesn't help at all.
As you just pointed out, it's all these versatile wing type of players that can contribute on multiple spots on the court, obviously talking about both offense and defense, and do all these different things. It's the most successful teams that usually get away with a couple of more wins that they should have, because these guys are very impactful. If you find a way to mesh them very well on a single team, then that's a recipe for success. And with Jay Rich, as I mentioned, we saw last season what he did, and he looked pretty, pretty good. His future looks bright and everything, but maybe he has just relied on Dwayne Wade too much this year. And I think that when he's gone next season, he will be missed a lot. And
but Jay Rich has to take that next step.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. Maybe he's leaning too much on Wade instead of saying, you know what? I'm the best player on this team, and I don't know if it's just a matter of if he doesn't believe he is, or he doesn't want to get too, you know, entitled with Hassan and Wade in there, but I don't think there should be any doubt that Jay Rich is the best player in that roster.
Oh, none at all, but he really does have to take over.
And it all starts with him just being assertive and demanding for the ball in situations and, you know, just being a leader both on and off the court. And he's still young. He still has steps to take, but we better see those steps come sooner rather than later, because if not, then we're in for a very, very delayed retooling, if that's what Pat Riley's trying to do.
I agree. Agree completely.
And while talking about another one of our tough blows from this past week, Derrick Jones Jr., he went down with an injury. The apparent return timetable is about 6 weeks for now. He'll be reevaluated in 1 month and a half. He'll obviously miss the All-Star Dunk Contest, which is something pretty sad, because he would be back in there. He competed there. I'm not sure if it was last year or 2 years ago, but he would be right there. Miami would have a surefire representative in All-Star Weekend, but well, I guess that's just how things go down. And Jones Jr., most of our listeners know both Rich and I are heavy supporters of him. we really like what he brings to the court, but now with him gone, now it brings more tough decisions for Coach Spoelstra.
It does. And I know how much he wanted to go to Charlotte. And I know how much that hurts. But when that knee buckles like that, the first thing you think of, out for the year. But fortunately, I mean, 6 weeks is not bad. He's already started rehab. He's working hard at it. He's wearing a stimulation device on the knee to help out a little bit. He's moving a bit. It will take that much time. But think about this. He's 21. He doesn't turn 22 until next week. He will heal. And as long as he's putting the work in, which he is, he will heal quickly. And it would be nice to get him back before the season ends, because we really do need him.
All signs point towards him coming back maybe a week or 2 weeks before the season ends, if everything goes right. Hopefully it will be a full month. But as you said, all the time it takes, it doesn't matter as long as he can come back healthy, because we don't need to rush him back in a situation where we're fighting for the playoffs. We are, but if you're going to be a fringe 8 seed and get swept in the first round, or maybe steal a game in the first round to the Bucks or to the Raptors, then you're not going to risk more damage to a guy that I think is such an important part of our future at the moment. No,
I agree. He is a part of the future.
There's just no point in taking all these risks, but hopefully, and as we said, he'll be back, let's say, a couple of weeks before the season ends, and hopefully he can get more playoff experience. And, I mean, there's just nothing else you can wish for a man that has worked this hard.
Oh, I know. I completely agree.
And
think about it. Now with him out, with Dragic still out, Tyler Johnson's not 100% with the calf injury. And Wade, as he gets older, these little nicks and bruises take a little longer to heal, and they linger. This puts Coach Spoelstra in a tough situation. And he even said that the rotation was complex for him. In fact, he said in the Sun Sentinel that he was the first to admit he doesn't know if he's making the right decision. But you have to make a decision. And it gets harder and harder when people are injured or aren't really available to make these decisions, the roster decisions. Fortunately, the team is deep enough where we have enough people to fill in the spots. I mean, we got Olynyk back.
We got Wayne Ellington back.
Ellington's in the rotation. I'm really happy about that.
Yes. We're going to talk about him briefly, but I just wanted to follow up on something you just said about Coach Spo. I don't think we would want anybody else making those decisions but no. Coach Spo. He gets a lot of shade, and it's very impressive to see all of the, I don't even know how to describe these comments, where he just gets destroyed on Twitter for making tough decisions. But man, at the end of the day, somebody has to make those decisions. And if there's somebody that we want making those decisions, it's him, because he has the experience. He's been around the team for so long. He's part of the family right now. He pretty much helped create the culture, the Heat culture that we're known for.
He has. And I can't stand seeing him buried on social media. I just can't. He doesn't deserve this. He's doing an outstanding job with what he has to deal with.
I don't think people understand that these decisions have to be made anyways. It's not. At the end of the day, Spoelstra himself has said it. What he decides to do is nothing personal. He said it multiple times, and I just wrote an article about Wayne Ellington and his comeback game in Madison Square Garden. Spo said it was tough having to sit Ellington, but what do you do when you have so many guys on the team, especially the young guys that you need to play? The decisions get very tough at that point.
They're so deep on the wing, someone has to sit always, and it is tough to do. Dwayne Wade made an interesting comment. He says – he wouldn't want to be in Spo's position. He said coaching is hard.
I don't think anybody would like to be in that position.
He said it's easy coaching if you don't have a lot of talent. But if you have guys that have talent and can help you, he said it's tough because you can't play everyone. And that's right. He also said if you want guys to be in a rhythm, you want guys to really work at it. They want to get the minutes. He said, and it takes the right person to sit. Wade said, everyone doesn't deal with it well. He said, James Jones knew how to deal with it. He said, Mike Miller did too. But not every player knows how to deal with sitting for a long period of time. And he said, it's so much rougher on younger players. And I agree.
I absolutely love those two guys. They were key parts of our two championships in 2012 and 2013. And those are great examples, but there comes in what you said. Those were veterans that knew that sometimes their number might not be called because it was time for LeBron or Bosch or Wade or whomever to take over, and that's just how things are going to be. It doesn't matter if they played 40 minutes that night. They're still going to get that playing time because the team needs them. But when you have guys – well, Ellington, he's quite a veteran. You know, he's bounced around a couple of teams in the league for most of his career, but he's surely a veteran. But then you have guys like Rodney Magruder, who, even after all the criticism that we've said about him, he still needs to play at the end of the day. And right now is not the best time to do it, but, you know, with injuries, opening up with spots and everything, which at the end of the day just makes it tougher for Spoelstra because he cannot find a way to stick to a fixed game plan.
No.
Because of all the injuries and everything that is happening.
Not only injuries, but performance too. If you're not performing, you can't just expect to get minutes. If you're not performing, or if you're a bad matchup, or if you're not 100%, there's a number of reasons why people aren't in a regular rotation, why it's so tough to keep one, especially at this time of year.
Great point you made right there with the matchups. This happens especially, and I'm sure you were going there with Hassan Whiteside. Am I right?
Yes.
He's not a great matchup against, and we talked about this before, a lot of times he's not a great matchup against stretch bigs. So it gets tough when as much as Spoelstra wants to have, you know, a consistent rotation he can rely on. But then for all these different reasons and all these different factors that affect it, he just can't stick with the same game plan every time he goes out. And that's just part of the tough job that he has to deal with in with this roster.
And the fact that some players are limited in certain ways. You could play Whiteside a lot of minutes against the Pelicans because you're playing against Jahlil Okafor right now.
Yes.
If you play him any minutes against Denver and Jokic, he'll get killed. It's not his strength.
All these modern bigs, like, as you mentioned, Jokic, even Karl Anthony Towns, DeMarcus Cousins, all these guys are so big of a problem for him because he's lacking this mobility on defense that he pretty much becomes a negative factor when you pull him away from the rim. And right. There's nowhere to hide him. And all these little details have – I'm sure they give Coach Spoelstra nightmares because he's tasked with coming up with a different game. Well, every team has to come up with a different game plan for every game, but the rotations are so different and the minutes distribution are so ever-changing every game.
And that's why in the modern game, it's so important to have those mid-sized and larger wing players who can switch, who can rotate, who can guard multiple positions. It just makes a coach's life so much easier. Yeah, and let's face it, we need a couple more.
Yes, the versatility is always helpful. And, well, this time around, it's been Wayne Ellington who's had to step up. He's taking a starting lineup role. Before, we saw Tyler Johnson take Rodney Magruder's spot in the starting five. But with the Tyler going down with a calf injury and with him still not being 100% apparently yet, everybody who watched last night's game could notice that. Wayne Ellington has stepped up to this game, and, well, he answered the call appropriately on Madison Square Garden. And I think he's such an underappreciated player in the aspect. And I was at OTG Basketball's Twitter last night and made a quick comment on this. But I don't think we appreciate enough how Ellington has such a perfect balance. He runs the floor so hard. He uses screens. He just slithers through any open window he can find to get to the three-point line, catch the ball, even though he's coming at a very high speed. And then he so smoothly rises up, de-accelerates at the proper moment, and rises up for an uncontested three. That's beautiful to watch.
It is, and it reminds me he's a Ray Allen type of player.
He's a sniper.
Motion, gets open, makes the shot. And this year, in fact, he's shooting better from three than he is from two, which you don't see very often.
Right. He's a one-dimensional player on the side that most of his shots are threes. But still, the degree of difficulty in the shots he attempts, it's on another level. And we want him taking those shots because he can make them. And, you know, aside from the point that it's beautiful to watch, he can make those shots and help the team. And he played 31 minutes in Madison Square Garden. He played almost 32 last night. Not the best shooting nights. Well, especially this last game against Chicago. But still, we want him taking these shots.
Oh, absolutely. As limited as he is of a player in other facets of the game, he is very, very necessary on a team that lacks offense.
And even with so many, I guess we can call them holes in his game, Ellington still plays as hard as any other player on the roster. Especially, I saw it in these last two games because he knows that he may not be back in the rotation once Goran Dragic and Derek Jones Jr. are healthy, or even Tyler Johnson gets healthy. Boom, he might just get kicked out of the rotation again. And he's such a hard player.
He's a veteran. He's a pro. He keeps himself ready to play. And that's so important for bench players. And that's usually why veteran players who know how to do that can keep themselves ready to come in. It's much tougher on younger players.
That's a great point. And we're going to need Ellington and all of the Heat team fully concentrated on our week that we have coming up, because we have some tough matchups. This Friday, we have the Oklahoma City Thunder, then the Indiana Pacers, and next week we have the Portland Trail Blazers, who are some of the best teams in their respective conferences. Well, the Pacers obviously took a hit with Victor Oladipo out, and they've lost both of their games without him.
They're still easy out.
Yes, exactly. No, we cannot sleep on them.
And then also have to remember, even though they're both home games, that's the second night of a back-to-back.
Not only that, but these teams can just have so many offensive weapons, and they can kill you in so many different with so many different players that Miami really has to step up their game.
And then you go on a West Coast road trip, and none of those games are easy.
No, you don't even start there, because the team, if we're losing against the Bulls teams right now, I don't want to imagine what will happen in that road trip. I know the Heat can play well, but with what they've been showing lately, it just seems like they lose focus sometimes.
They do, and that really has to change. I think being on the road helps. Not a lot of people feel that way. I do. I think being on the road helps, because you're just more together as a unit. You're spending more time together. Focus is there, because this is what you have to do. This is going to be interesting. This road trip is going to determine a lot. That's a tough trip. Every West Coast game is against a playoff team or a contender. And then and then the last game of the road trip is at Philly.
No, and even when you're not playing a West playoff contender, every team from 1 to 14 in the West can beat you on any given night.
Right.
It's always going to be a tough trip when you go to the West.
It is. And then coming back, not only are you losing 3 hours, but you're traveling 3,000 miles to play one of the best teams in the East before you get to go back home. That's a tough, long trip.
It will be, and I just hope that Miami, let's not place any expectations for them this week and let them surprise us. How does that sound, huh?
You're starting it off with a back-to-back at home. You have to win at least one.
I mean, that would be ideal, but it seems like the Pacers game is easier, but not that much.
No, no games are easy. Well, it'd be nice to win both home games, and I think that would really give them a boost going out on the road, but it's tough.
Yes, it's going to be very tough. Hopefully, we'll be here next week speaking about the good things that the Heat did. Obviously, we're not placing any expectations, but always, as always, looking forward to next week or next episode. I want to see Miami surprise us.
I would love that.
At this point, there's only so many things that can go wrong after what has happened. So let's just hope for the best, and we'll hope we're back here next week with some positive aspects to talk, more than the negative aspects that we sadly have to touch on. But I think that's everything for today.
We're going to be here. We're going to be here next week and tell it the way we see it.
Would you like to plug your social media for everyone to hear?
I absolutely would. You can reach me, and I do reach back at people when they want to talk. You can reach me on Twitter at RichA, RICHA _NBA. You can listen to me on SB Nation Radio on Tuesdays on the NBA show. I do a podcast for that show as well called Around the Association, which is on Spreaker Podcasts. You can also find it on iTunes, SoundCloud, podcast.com, a bunch of other places. Let's just say we both get around.
Yeah, we do. We love being around Twitter.
Well,
we love the discussion on Twitter. We love talking about Miami or the NBA. Anything you want to talk about, we're right there. You can follow me on Twitter at Cantu NBA. That's CANTU NBA.
And don't forget Heaters Gonna Heat.
You can yes,
there at Heaters Heating.
Yes, you can. And also, we're starting with the Miami Heat mailbag. Questions mailbag. So we're starting it on Miami Sports Wave. You can field your questions via Twitter. Please follow us, Miami Sports Wave on Twitter. We'll post a tweet every week asking for questions. And make sure you tune in every Friday. We're planning to release a mailbag every Friday. And if you have any questions, you can send them our way and we'll answer them. Also, one last shout out for OTG Basketball. We're doing a great, great job closing off the trade season with the trade deadline marathon. We still have 1 week to go, almost exactly 1 week to go. Yes, the trade deadline is on February 7th. So make sure to check out all of the amazing trade content that we're putting there. You never know if one of those deals gets through. So still a lot of fun having that discussion with them. And I think that's going to be it for this week.
That is it. Again, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure.
Well, let's pray for the best, and we'll see you all next week.
Have a great week, everyone.